Well, it's wonderful to be back here with you all. So many faces I see and I'm familiar with. Other faces are new, so I think we're a good learning group here together. So Steve and Rob asked me to take on two topics for this track that are sort of new because of just some realities that are out there and things that we're having to think through in biblical counseling. And so I said yes to doing it, but I told him that it's going to be super last minute. So please note, it says these are developing thoughts on a very hard topic, honestly, and that is reunification of spouses after abuse has been exposed. So please note that I say they are developing thoughts, all right? I'm not presenting this morning as if sort of this has been completely sealed in final form, and these are thoughts, thus saith the Lord. I am trying to take the thus saith the Lord's from Scripture and apply them to the particularities of these situations, these factors. So you'll also notice down at the bottom, it says draft. I can't emphasize enough. I'm trying to be faithful. I'm not confident in my own abilities. And I'm more confident that as we converse and as we talk, these things get refined and developed. So reunification after sort of there's been separation for abuse. Some of you in here might hear that this is even a topic and wonder like, wait, why are we talking about this? Of course you reunify. Others in here might hear this topic and think, we would be open to getting them back together? So I resonate with this side, and I think the Bible helps us guide with good principles when it might be wise and when it may never be wise in a particular situation. And folks, honestly, just at the outset, I want us to acknowledge this is part of the reality of living in a broken and a fallen world that will not be fully redeemed until each one of us see Jesus with our own eyes. At the very outset, I just want to share with you from my heart, I believe deeply in the power of the gospel to transform lives. I believe deeply in the sufficiency of Scripture to help us understand and assess the problems of our lives. But I also, because I believe the Bible, know that what is broken won't always be made right in this life. And what is crooked will not always be made straight. The book of Ecclesiastes is in our Bible for a reason. And it's not to be that weird book that we get nervous when people quote from. The reason is it gives us this layer of reality that I think helps us to not, I want to say overpromise. It helps us to not think that heaven is attainable before we're actually in heaven in the presence of God. So that's just the reality that we have to talk in. Let's talk together. You actually have all the notes that I have as well in front of me. I'm looking at the same thing that you are looking at. So this is my attempt again to, I want to address the issue itself, but I also want to set us up to think about how we use Scripture in these little dark corners of human experience, these little things that you don't have a chapter and verse on. So this introductory thoughts section kind of can apply to any problem that we're dealing with, whether it be cutting or whether it deal with a number of other things. So, as you can see here, the most difficult decisions in human life are those that present us with values that are good, but they're set in tension against one another. So, good biblical values like marriage, forgiveness, reconciliation can be set in tension with other good biblical values like accountability, protection, and justice. Did you know that both sets are from Scripture? Both sets are in the heart of God. Now, I'm not implying there's conflict within God at all. What I'm saying is God is a big enough being and a complex enough being that he goes beyond our understanding of how these various things relate in any given point, in any given situation. All we know from Scripture is that God does indeed value these things. But my point in that opening paragraph is simply, like, that's where you kind of spend your sleepless nights as a counselor, isn't it? That's where you kind of earn your big paycheck, is those decisions that you're like, man, I don't know what's good versus best. Right versus wrong is relatively easy. It's hard. It's hard to talk it through. It's hard to implement, but it's easy to discern. So if a guy's cheating on his wife and his heart is drawn towards his mistress still, and he knows, I just feel like I'm in love with her and I don't love my wife anymore, what should I do? I'm not telling you not to pray about that, but you really don't need to think that much about that situation. That's a right versus wrong. It's very obvious from Scripture. Run from the mistress as if she's Potiphar's wife. There you are. Go to your wife. Make amends. You need to be with your wife, thus saith the Lord. So, most of our counseling problems don't fit into that category, unfortunately. So, tension of values. This is what's always going to be hard. By the way, free tip for parents of teenagers. This is how we talk to our teens, right? There's times where they want to do something just explicitly wrong, and then that's actually relatively easy to discern, even if it's a hard conversation. But much of the time, they're valuing something that's not all that bad. It's just that they're not adequately valuing other things that would put that in position. These are the hard conversations. Now, I think the tension becomes all the more pronounced, as you can see in the next paragraph, when there are certain factors at play in the situation that you're trying to discern. So, in the case of, for instance, sexual abuse of children, in the case of abuse domestically from a husband to a wife, or also from a wife to a husband, there's a number of factors that I think make it all the more important that we're aware of what we're doing when we're weighing different values. The tension becomes more pronounced in extreme situations when the factors involved are, first, whether difficult to discern. In other words, the factors at play are not readily apparent. They have dynamics that are hidden, often intentionally, from plain sight. Folks, I want you to have a high degree of confidence in the Bible, and I want you to have a chastened, lower degree of confidence in your ability to understand a situation immediately. What I mean by that is, sometimes there's complexities that are so hard to discern that you have to spend a lot of time, a lot of effort, getting to discern what those factors are before you can weigh in with wisdom. The more extreme the situation, normally the more complex those factors are. So it's not just your first impression. Well, she seems like an overbearing person and like way overly emotional. So whatever she's saying about her husband, I mean, take it with a grain of salt. And then you give counsel and wisdom off of that first impression. That's wrong. That's sinful. That's speaking before you know a matter, as Proverbs 18 talks about. You don't want to do that. The other thing is, in abuse situations, there's an intentional attempt to hide the factors of the situation. So then you have to feel mean as a counselor being the one pushing on a guy because you're not necessarily taking everything he says at face value. That's kind of counter your instincts, isn't it? Sometimes, like, we want to be really nice, we want to be charitable, and we think love believes all things. That means I just take people at face value. Sometimes that's the unloving thing to do. Did you know that? When it's difficult to discern. Also, when it has a greater potential for harm. In other words, the factors at play could do some serious damage to vulnerable people, whether that's acute short-term damage of them getting hit and injured, or it's more gradual long-term, like them just getting manipulated so thoroughly about the way they think about life, about every decision they make, that it just has this grinding effect on hollowing them out. In situations where the potential for harm is higher, in other words, there's a male in position in authority in the home. I'm complementarian, not merely because that's what the Bible says, but because that's what God etched into nature. And because I'm complementarian, that's why all the more you're going to see, I think the emphasis of